That's Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, just one of the many hits from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. As a member of that band, as well as the Byrds, David Crosby became an integral part of the American soundtrack, influencing a generation of rockers and singer-songwriters. But after several giant albums, world tours, and broad success, both bands dissolved in acrimony. David Crosby lost years of music to a heroin and cocaine addiction, as well as a prison sentence on drug and gun charges. Now in a new documentary, David Crosby, Remember My Name, the 77-year-old takes an unflinching look back at his life. Crosby's interviewed by filmmaker and rock journalist Cameron Crowe. Crowe and David Crosby came by the NPR studios in New York to talk with me about the movie.
I think whatever it says, I think it's a very honest film. That's the one thing they asked of me, man, they didn't ask much of me. They did ask that I, you know, I give it an honest shot. Cameron's known me since he was 15. He knows where all the bodies are buried.
Cameron, you were a teenager, as David says, when you first met them and when Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young first hit the stage and the airwaves. Talk about the impact their music had on you.
Just as a young guy, I couldn't believe that so much was being accomplished with a minimum of guitars and a maximum of these great songs. Mm. And they were all sung with such passion. It wasn't kind of disconnected pop music made to just be on the radio and that's it. These guys were really feeling it. And as a young guy, I was looking to that. So when I started doing interviews, David was one of the first guys I wanted to talk to. And to my remarkable surprise, he was the most generous interview you could have imagined for a 15-year-old fan/journalist to ever get. And I actually have never stopped interviewing David. And this film was a chance to do one more tough round of interviews. And because he was there and the camera was going and it was a very personal experience, I did feel like I could ask him anything.
He asked me the hardest question I've ever been asked in my life. And the result, you know, we went into it thinking about it the same way. Cameron doesn't want to do a shine job. I don't want to do a shine job. We knew that I have had a checkered history, and we knew that I am not a perfect person. And we're okay with that.
In the film, you go back to some of the places in Los Angeles and elsewhere where Crosby, Stills, and Nash first got going. Let's take a listen.
That's the house our house was written about, right there.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard.
Life see that so interior light there, the yellowy white one back through that window? That's the kitchen. That's where Crosby, Stills, and Nash was born, right under that light.
Did you guys know right away that you had the makings of a band that would be as huge as CSN and CSNY became?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, we knew right away. As soon as we sang one of Stephen's songs, you know, he's a great songwriter. As soon as Nash put in the top part, we said, oh, yeah, okay, that's what I'll be doing for a while. Neil, much less sure about Neil. Neil had been in the Springfield with Stephen, and so I think he had mixed feelings. But we all knew he was a talent. The real meat of the matter in Crosby, Stills, and Nash wasn't what everybody thought it was. Yes, we had a great sound, a great vocal blend, but the real meat was in the songs. It was the juxtaposition of my songs with Nash's songs, with Stills' hit songs, and Neil. When we were trying to decide, this is in the film. I said this in the film. It's absolutely true. Neil sang me some of those songs. And when I listened to the songs that he was writing, oh, hell yes, I want him in the band.
Do you have a favorite Neil Young song?
Maybe Helpless.
Helpless, 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 helpless. Helpless, helpless, helpless.
It's a great film, but you voice a lot of regrets in it. I mean, regrets about burned bridges, about time wasted, being wasted, regrets about becoming addicted to heroin and cocaine. I mean, you're very honest in the film about those dark times. Is the film for you something of an apology or an attempt to make amends or not?
I don't think apology or making amends. It's more like a catharsis. Mm-hmm. It's more like if you want to learn from your life, okay, you have to look at things you're proud of. That you naturally do that. But you also have to look at the places where you made mistakes. You can't flinch. You can't candy coat it. Mm. So I had to.
You say in the film at one point, I hurt a lot of people.
I did. I've heard a lot of people. I've helped a lot more. Mm-hmm. I just have to be able to look at it and understand it and learn from it. I'm not beating myself up about any of it. Mm-hmm. Please don't get that impression. I'm not. Truthfully, I'm actually pretty happy with the guy I am now. I'm trying real hard to be a decent human being, and I like it.
I have to mention this because your struggle with drug addiction is a theme of the film. I lost a friend to heroin on July 3rd. He'd been in rehab twice mm-hmm. and had been sober for many years, but relapsed and overdosed. And while I'm sad about it, I'm also kind of pissed off, and I know that's not really rational because addiction is a disease, but the anger is real and it's there, and kind of want to slap him and say, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, I know. I know that feeling.
And I'm wondering, what was the slap in the face for you that turned you around from heroin that got you sober?
There's a certain moment that you have when you know you just simply can't go on. Then you do whatever you're going to do. Some people go to prison. It worked. Going to prison worked. I don't recommend it. It's hard, hard, hard way to kick because they don't give you an aspirin. They couldn't care less. They laughed at me and thought I was funny. Hey, rock star, how are you now? It's
right.
Funny.
Cameron Crowe, what do you take away from your conversations with Crosby in making this film?
Confusion.
It was actually like a beautiful non-studio kind of experience. It was very homemade, the way we did the film, and that was really inspiring to me. But also just being able to be around Cross for an extended period of time, just being around him, I see really how to maintain nobility against many odds.
What do you see as his greatest musical legacy?
I love this song, Glory. From his last album. I love that. But he knows me well enough to know that I'm a freak for If I Could Only Remember My Name, his first solo album. And then, of course, when you're making the film, we went back through the Bird stuff, which that stuff just holds up like crazy.
It does, doesn't it?
Like
it
does. Crazy.
It still sounds pretty good.
8 miles high, and when you touch down, you'll find that it's stranger than known.
I like the scene when it goes to animation. You're kicked out of the Birds and you say, but I'm taking Guinevere and my weird tunings with me.
Yeah, that was true.
But then when we actually had to go to Roger McGuinn and Chris Hillman and get them to do their like animation lines,
right?
They went from being horrified to be like, yeah, this is how those Lion King people do it. This is good. let's fire David again.
David, for me, one of the most poignant moments in the film is when you talk about what's happened to some of your musical friendships and relationships. Let's take a listen.
All the main guys that I made music with won't even talk to me. All of them. All. One of them hitting my guts could be an accident. McGuinn, Nash, Neil, and Steven all really dislike me.
Do you think or hope that your openness in this film might provide some kind of path towards reconciliation with some of these people?
Oh, dimly in the background, maybe some. I don't really, it's not why we did it.
Understood.
You have to understand, I don't really think those guys are going to watch this movie. I hope that they do see it because I hope that they can see who I am now. The four of us, you know, were horrible to each other many, many times. It was a fully competitive band. And we were competing all the time. In spite of that, we made some incredible music, which I'm very proud of. And I really got to understand, I don't have any bad feelings in my heart about any of those guys. But I really can't stand around waiting to have a therapy session. I got to be making music now while I got, in the 5 minutes I got, I got to play a song.
I do have to ask, what do you think ultimately undid the early camaraderie, friendship, and musical magic of CSNY?
I think the same thing that undid it in the Birds. I think what happens with bands is you're in love with each other when you start. You think you're really terrific, and wow, oh, look what happens when we do this together. 40 years later, when it's devolved to turn on the smoke machine and play your hits, the joy's not there, man. If I had stayed with it, I would be still be making lots of money, but I wouldn't like music anymore.
At the end of the film, we hear you making music with a whole new band of musicians. That seems like what's keeping you going today.
It is. That's so that puts gas in my tank, I got to tell you. I love the process of creating songs and singing them and recording them and playing them live. I love it. I love it. I love it. I eat it for lunch. I rub it in my hair.
The new documentary is David Crosby, Remember My Name. Cameron Crowe interviews Crosby for the film and also helped produce and make it. Cameron Crowe, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
And David Crosby, thank you for speaking with us and for all the music over all the years.
I have to thank you and NPR for being my companion on many a ride.